Let us read this affirmation aloud together. I am only one, but still I am one. I cannot do everything, but still I can do something. And because I cannot do everything, I will not refuse to do the something that I can do. I am one. I can't do everything, gosh darn it. Yet I must do and something that I can do. Whether we are one person, one family, one congregation, one community, one city, one state, one country, one world, we can't do everything. And, bless you, we must do the something that we can do. So what is the thing? Or who is it? Or when? Or how? Or why? What is a thing that you can do that this world needs you to do, needs you to be? Now, figuring this out can get pretty overwhelming quickly for some of us. It's so big to consider, and perhaps too important to not know. Some seem practically born knowing. Michael Jordan, one of the best basketball players ever to grace the court, was a fierce competitor as a young boy, mostly striving simply to be better than himself. Comedian Margaret Cho started stand-up in her teens in San Francisco. Mother Teresa, at 12, heard the call to spread the love of Jesus through acts of kindness and compassion. Charles Steinmetz showed great aptitude early on in mathematics, and his engineering prowess made him a great student and won many awards and became an inventor. The park across the street, as many of you know, was where his home stood, not across the street, across the creek, which is now quite frozen, was where his home stood. Steinmetz might never have discovered or invented so many things in the world of math and electricity, might not have made it here to Schenectady at all, if it weren't for a few small words, according to Smithsonian contributor Albert King. It seems Steinmetz arrived at Ellis Island in 1888 and was nearly turned away because of the bias of the agents there. Steinmetz had kyphosis, a curvature of the upper spine, and stood at about 4 feet tall. King reports that an American friend whom Steinmetz was traveling with convinced immigration officials that the young German PhD was a genius whose presence would someday benefit all of America. In just a few years, Steinmetz would prove his American friend right. One small thing that led to so much greatness. There are folks right here in this room who you've known since you were little, or maybe since you were in high school, that you were meant to be a teacher, an artist, a spouse, an engineer, a parent, a firefighter, a social worker, a friend. Yet a lot of us don't seem to know what we want to be when we grow up. Even still, we don't necessarily know quite what it is that we are here to do. Or maybe something has changed in our lives and we aren't sure who we are now. Motivational speaker and hip-hop preacher Eric Thomas reminds us that sometimes it is okay to start small. He says, don't think about what can happen in a month. Don't think about what can happen in a year. Focus on the 24 hours in front of you and do what you can to get closer to where you want to be. So for those of us who aren't sure what our one thing is or our something is, let's start small rather than getting stuck in the overwhelm of it all. So what is one small thing? One small thing could be a person. Iris, whose parents are members of this church, is an example of this on the front cover of our order of service. And I bet she already makes a big difference, even though she is currently a small person. And a very cute one at that. It could be an actual thing. Christy shared a bit of the story of these small things with Steve and me when she put the chancel together. Each of these small things has big meaning in Christy's life and story. One small thing could be a butterfly that creates a tornado. You may have heard about this theory. Urban planning postdoc at UC Berkeley, Jeff Boeing, explains in chaos theory, the butterfly effect is the sensitive dependence on initial conditions in which a small change in one state of a deterministic nonlinear system can result in large differences in a later state. I did mention he was a postdoc, right? And I'm sure some of you knew what the heck I just said, but I needed to dig a little deeper to figure out what he meant. And according to Wikipedia, the term butterfly effect itself was coined by Edward Lorenz and is derived from the metaphorical example of the details of a tornado, its exact time of formation, and its exact path taken, being influenced by minor perturbations, such as the flapping of the wings of a distant butterfly several weeks earlier. A very small change in initial conditions had created a significantly different outcome. Small wings, potentially big impact. Maybe the one small thing is a choice that we make.
Author Leo Tolstoy said each person's task in life is to become an increasingly better person. When you think about that statement, the only way to accomplish that is to change. And we sometimes hear that change is hard, that it's just too difficult, it's not worth it. Yet, sometimes, even making the smallest change is enough to further you in your pursuit of becoming an increasingly better person. Let me tell you about my zia Lina. Zia means aunt in Italian. She passed away about 18 months ago. The best way I can describe her to you is to tell you about a picture in Abby and I's wedding album. The picture's on the dance floor, and everyone is dancing to the song YMCA, right? The reason we know this is because everyone in the picture is on the Y, but not my Zia. Zia's on the M. That's just the way she was. She had a lust for life. She was always way out in front of us. When I found out she was diagnosed with stage 4 brain cancer, it sort of knocked me off my feet. Her prognosis was not good. And I was determined to say goodbye before it was too late. As soon as I decided to do this, I started to think, when I go down there, what are we going to talk about? What are we going to focus on? This is going to be too sad. It's going to be too hard. And I thought about this for a while, and then I just decided to change my thinking. And I said to myself, I was not going to let grief stop me from seeing her one last time. So in the spring, before she passed, I made the long journey to Whitestone, New York, to share a meal with her. And when I got there, my aunt and uncle from Florida were there, along with several cousins. I have a rather large extended family. When I walked in, I was overwhelmed by the sense of, oh my God, what am I doing here? Why did I come? This is too hard. This is too sad. I wanted to drop off the food I prepared, and I wanted to go home. Sometimes fear keeps us from doing things that are really important. So as I felt that fear, I chose to move through. And I was greatly rewarded. Instead of focusing on the grief and the sadness my family was focusing on, I had decided to look for something else. Now I saw Zia's husband, Zio Charlie. Zio Zia, you get that right. He was chit-chatting, he was socializing, he was answering questions, To the picture of my uncle before that, he was rather stoic and he was nice. He wasn't mean, but he was a nice guy, but he was not the chit-chatty type. But on this day, and throughout the whole challenging time, he waited on my aunt hand and foot. He did everything he could to make her comfortable and happy. And watching that, it hit me. I was witnessing his love for my aunt, and it was beautiful to see and to experience. When we sat down for lunch, my family started asking questions again about treatments and what the next steps were. I really wanted to change the subject, because if I'm honest, I didn't want to experience the sadness and grief at that moment anymore. And so I asked my uncle how he and my aunt had met. And as he told us the story, he and my aunt's eyes locked. In for that moment in time, between them, there was no cancer. There was no pain. There was no grief between them. It was just their love. I'd like to believe that in their minds, they were back on their first date. It was a gift to witness for those of us around the table that day. Small shifts or changes in our thinking can have huge effects and produce loving outcomes. And that's what Reverend Wendy and Reverend Lynn have been preaching and teaching about, right? I can nod. Just thinking, if we choose to make small changes in what we do or how we see things, what will come of it? Think about how making small changes in our spiritual community can make huge differences. I think, as Tolstoy suggested, we'll all be increasingly better people.
Sometimes the small thing can be a word that helps us be increasingly better people. When I was in college working on my undergraduate degree, the first in my family to do so, just outside of Worcester, Massachusetts, I took a class on Judaism. I wasn't raised in a religious tradition, but I was spiritually curious. There was some part of me that sensed something more, some larger purpose that we have as humans, maybe some higher power, maybe something else. And I sensed it, but I didn't know how to talk about it. The wood in this beautiful pulpit as living energy, intuition, dreams, the sanctity of animals and all life, all connected. I didn't yet know our UU seventh principle about the interdependent web of all existence. I just sensed it. When I arrived at the class with the required Torah, one of the holy texts for it, Rabbi Alan Ullman invited us to turn to Genesis. Having not been raised in a religious tradition, I did not know this was the first chapter in the Hebrew Scriptures and therefore the beginning of the Torah. I was, however, a musician, and Genesis meant something else to me. I will follow you, will you follow me? There has to be an invisible touch, yeah. Throwing it all away. That's what I knew to be Genesis. It was the age of MTV and music videos, and I was quite captivated by a left-handed drummer named Phil Collins. Then I noticed everyone else was turning to the beginning of the Torah. While I was spiritually curious, I was also skeptical, leery of organized religion. But that day, Rabbi Ullman did one small thing that changed my assumptions about religion and religious life. He began to read the text, "In a beginning," and stopped and waited. And though I was not raised in a religious tradition, even I knew it was in the beginning, not in a beginning. And then he explained that the Hebrew was more closely translated to allow for the many possibilities of how the story may have unfolded, while the English translation has limited it to just one, in a beginning rather than in the beginning. He was the first religious leader whom I ever witnessed daring to ask questions with his faith, to wrestle with text, or to engage with the Jewish tradition of Midrash. And he affirmed the flood of questions his teaching style unleashed in me, at least on paper, in our weekly journal assignment. I was often too shy to say very much in class, still intimidated, assuming everybody else knew much more about religion than I did. It is possible that this one word change from the to a is responsible for my seeking a religious tradition as a young adult that was not based in dogma, eventually leading me to Unitarian Universalism. Can you think of a time in your life when someone did something small and it made a big difference to you? Or maybe you did something small and it made a big difference to someone else? Just a small act of kindness might do it. A couple of folks sent notes to us this week to check in to see how we were doing with the snow and cold, and a few of you more this morning, and in various meetings and gatherings throughout the week, assuring us that this indeed is cold weather, even to longtime New Yorkers, though a few of you Minnesotans are saying not quite so cold. That might not seem like much, but your co-ministers are still new here, and with each season are reminded of that. And every act of compassion really matters. From helping us empty our containers in the summer when we moved here, to inviting us into your lives and your trust, to cards and messages, to words about the work we are doing with you, they've all mattered to us. These small gestures have had a big impact, and we are so grateful. As this new year, at least according to the Gregorian calendar, gets underway, we can see the beauty and the devastation around us. As we navigate the lessons and the struggles of being human, as we grapple with life's big questions and racism and fascism, and the harm inflicted by them, as we wonder how on earth we are going to turn this all around, remember, it might be a butterfly or a violin string sounding. It might be the witnessing of love between elders and relatives or the turning of the coming age. It might just be the next 24 hours or the kind words from a friend. It might be a pair of socks, a change in article, a stunning photo of a beloved little one, a basketball swish, or an electric current. Whatever the one small thing is for you, may you find and engage and be fully with it. I close with these words from Jan Richardson, who suggests, as we bless the threshold into a new year, that it might just be waiting for us. She writes, "This blessing has been waiting for you for a long time. While you have been making your way here, this blessing has been gathering itself, making ready, biding its time, praying. This blessing has been polishing the door, oiling the hinges, sweeping the steps, lighting candles in the windows. This blessing has been setting the table as it hums a tune from an old song it knows, something about a spiraling road and bread and grace. All this time it has kept an eye on the horizon, watching, keeping vigil, hardly aware of how it was leaning itself in your direction. And now that you are here, this blessing can hardly believe its good fortune that you have finally arrived, that it can drop everything at last to fling its arms wide to you, crying, welcome, welcome, welcome." May it be so. Amen, and blessed be.